Better Health Radio Show. As per usual, you've got our host, the goodly doctor, Dr. Renee Boyce. Let's say good evening to her. And of course, as usual, she'll have a guest. Let's say good evening to Dr. Boyce. Good evening.
Hi, good evening, Gretchen. How are you?
I am not too bad. Hanging in there. What about yourself, please?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Like you said, hanging in there, getting accustomed to working with the changes, trying to make sure that I stay on the right side of the law.
Yes, you should do that all the time, though.
but I really am doing well. This evening's show, the Better Health Radio Show, remember, we're here every Sunday, rain or shine, snow, sleet, hail.
COVID-19 or no COVID-19, we're here.
Correct. We're here, 6 to 7 p.m., helping you to live your best life. We have been, over the past few weeks, discussing various aspects of COVID-19. We would have discussed initially what it was, how we came about getting COVID-19, how is it transferred from person to person. And we've shifted our focus a little more this week. Last week, we focused on the response by the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners. And again, I'm going to take the opportunity to thank those of my colleagues who appeared on the show, but as well, all of the other doctors who are working and all of the other persons who are part of the essential services, nurses, cleaners, sanitation, and those others who are helping us to lead as normal lives as possible, the gas station attendants, those people in the bakeries, those people who clean the side of the road if they're still working. So everybody who is doing something to try to help us maintain that degree of normalcy, if any, I want to say thank you very much on behalf of the Better Health Radio Show. Now, just before we go on to introduce my guest this evening, who very willingly jumped in and said yes, he would be here, I do want to just throw something out to you, the listeners. On this show, the purpose of the show is education. It's putting information out there in an easy-to-understand form and also having that facility for you to call in and ask your questions about anything that might be bothering you, something that you might have heard on the show or somewhere else that you are unclear on, and this is an opportunity for us to clarify those things for you. It is not, however, an opportunity to air grosses or to cast aspersions or make a physician or whomever might have appeared on this guest look bad. That person does not have the opportunity to defend him or herself, so we're asking you to remember, do not call the names of doctors, nurses, social workers, lawyers, whomever you might have an issue with, that are not present on the show to defend themselves. It is not bias. If you want to say that somebody has done a very good job for you, well, you can say that, but not in a way that puts other people at a disadvantage. I hope that I've made myself very clear.
I hope somebody doesn't take a different spin to what you just said, because you know how people can be.
You're telling me. But anyway, I hope that what I said was very clear. All right. It's not the purpose of this show to be going on and on, arguing back and forth. It's about information and what to do with that information. So on that note, let me say a very warm welcome to my guest this evening, Mr. Lennox Rochester.
Hello, good evening.
It is so good to hear your voice.
Hi, so Renee, how are you?
I'm so happy to hear you. I guess the listeners can hear that.
Yes. It's good. It's good to be here. I heard you guys saying that you're hanging in. Well, just to tell you how Noti thinks differently, I'm not hanging. Hanging is for clothes and criminals. I'm holding on.
Okay, yes.
See what I told you about different spin?
That's exactly what we were just talking about. But
right.
The reason you can hear this big smile on my face is that every time I've spoken to Mr. Rochester, be it referring a patient or asking his opinion on a matter, he has never once said, no, I can't help. Even if it was something that he was unable to do, he would refer me to someone else. I just really want to take the time to say thank you for putting yourself out there, because it's difficult being involved in one of the social professions such as yours. So a big thank you.
That's okay. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having.
So let's start.
Yes,
who is Lennox Rochester? What do you do?
What do I do? I'm a trained occupational therapist. Basically, I work in mental health. Basically, occupational therapy is the treatment of physical and psychiatric conditions through specific activity in order to help people reach their maximum level of function in all activities of daily living, and that's a mouthful, but basically, I help people in all areas. I've been working in mental health. This is going to be my 42nd year.
Woo.
So I've been around... I've been around quite a while, and that's it. I've been known to do a number of things and to be the one to take on the challenge, and that's it really. I care about people and I love people, and that's the impetus for my getting into this profession and my longevity.
So we're going to look this evening at the COVID pandemic. In two lights, we're going to look at those who are providing care, those who form the essential services. We're going to take a look at them. But we want to start out by taking a look at the other persons who are not part of the essential services, so the individuals within our communities. Let's start out by trying to define what is a crisis.
A crisis, I'll give a definition of a crisis is perhaps can be described as a perception or the experiencing of an event or situation as an intolerable difficulty. And this difficulty exceeds the person's current resources or coping mechanisms. So that's a very, very broad, definition. For example, a 14-year-old female who wakes up one morning with a big pimple in the middle of her forehead, that's a crisis. May not be a crisis to the parents, but it's a crisis to her because that's going to affect her body image. It's going to affect her perception of how others will view her, which will invariably affect her function during that day or whatever. So that's it. There are, however, different types of crises, and I don't want to get too heavy in these, but they're natural crises like what we're dealing with now, financial crises, which we've heard about over the last few years. There can be technological crises. I prefer to keep it simple. Personal crises like what I spoke about just now, family crisis, you know, things that happen in the family community, or we are dealing right now with a worldwide crisis where everyone is involved.
But Lennox, If I take your definition of crisis, all of these different things as a result of this COVID pandemic can be impacting one individual.
Yes.
So
yes,
let's say one person who, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, this individual has been laid off. This is for them, since their resources are no longer what they used to be. That person is experiencing a financial crisis.
Absolutely.
So for many people, their job is their self-worth, their value. So such an individual, especially if it's a man, not saying only men, but if that person is male, again, the loss of provision for the family. So self-worth is gone.
Yeah.
And now... Just before I left home, my electricity went out. We've been having problems with the internet. So you can't do the schoolwork that you're supposed to do. So you can't help your children upload their documents and so on. So that's another set of crisis.
Yes, go on.
No, you go ahead.
No, and these, all you have just said, you're correct. And they can lead to fears or they can compound already existing fears. All right? And they can lead to something which we all speak about, stress.
Yes. That is a word that flies off the tongue so easily.
So easy.
I am so stressed.
Yes, I am. So, and I know people kind of misuse it and whatever else, but let me give you a very simple explanation, not that we're digressing, right?
Go right ahead.
Stress can be considered basically your body's physical, mental, and chemical response to circumstances. And listen to this carefully, which frighten you, which excite you, which confuse you, or which irritate you. All of these circumstances exist within the COVID situation.
Right. I agree completely.
Yes, there's the uncertainty. Nobody knows what is going to happen, per se. You know, nobody knows. Every day we're making adjustments to our thinking, to our feeling, and to our acting. Now, let me spend a little time here, right? Thinking. Our thought lives are important because from there comes all of our actions. So it's important to keep our thought lives healthy. But when one looks at the circumstance that you just outlined, that's a very, very difficult thing. Where am I going to get food from? How am I going to pay the bills? What is going to become of me? How will my children see me? How will my partner see me? And these are all critical things that hundreds, I dare say thousands of people are experiencing right
now. I agree with you completely.
Yes. So we have to encourage people to find a way to adjust their thought lives. Now, in the previous program, I heard Dr. Hassel saying she believes that God is in control. Mm-hmm. And we have to hold on to something, to strong belief that we will survive.
Yeah, that we will come out on the other side.
I think that's one of the
messages that we want to reinforce, that everything in life is a season. Mm-hmm. What we don't know about this COVID-19 pandemic is the length of this season. Is it going to turn around in June? And please don't let anybody say that Dr. Boyce said that the pandemic is going to end in June. June was just something that came to the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. Nobody knows. The uncertainty is there fueling those fears. And like you said, we have to try to control these things from the thought. This is where everything starts, your thoughts.
There you go. Now, I was having a discussion with some people recently, and one person said to me, the way to manage uncertainty is to focus on the certainties that you have.
Hmm.
I said, interesting, tell me more. And he went on to say, well, certainly you're alive now. You can capitalize on that. Certainly you have certain things around the house. You may not have all the things that you believe that you want, but you have some things that you need.
Yes.
You know, so you can deal with those. Deal with what you don't have when you've run up, whatever that comes, right? So, and I found that very, very interesting, that you deal with uncertainty by paying attention to your certainties and building a platform for that. Now,
yeah, I'm definitely going to write that down.
Yes, I thought it was actually very, very, very insightful. Now, as human beings, we tend to like to have some sense of, I'd say, security. We like to know, you know, to some extent, what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, we like some measure of control. But we've got to come to a point where there are times when we are not going to have that control. And accepting that, now, is the key, acceptance of that fact that we are not going to be able to control this. Now, personally, I believe we're living in a very exciting time.
Okay, in what way? What do you think is so exciting about this time?
No, it's incredibly exciting in that we are on the cusp of making history. We are part of a history-making scenario. Now, if you look around your environment and everything, you will notice that there's an increase in creativity.
Yes.
People are being extremely creative. Must admit, some of it is mischievous, but most of it is pretty good. All right? And we'll tell the people now, try to desist from the mischievous creativity. Just focus on creativity that makes things good. Right? People are very creative. All right? Now, for the first time since my existence, social media is being used for social output. Let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out and I've seen people, whole family together, and everybody's on their phone or whatever else, and nobody's communicating. Now people are actually communicating with each other, so that has increased social interaction, which can only have a positive output.
I agree. I mentioned to somebody, and this isn't just to talk about myself, but I mentioned to somebody just last night that for the first time in a long time, for nearly 2 weeks on the stretch, my husband and my two children, we have sat down for three meals every day together. In previous times, it would have been two at breakfast, somebody screaming at somebody else, get out the bath, let's go through the door. You know, that's real life.
Yep, yep.
So we've been forced to sit down and eat together and talk. That has been a good thing.
Which is good, and you will learn things about each other that you didn't know of before.
Yes.
Now, that is encapsulated by the fact that family time has been increased. Now, I spoke to a person recently. Now, this is very interesting. And she said to me, I am suffering from proximity stress. I said, well, help me understand what you're saying. She said, don't get me wrong. I love my husband and my children. But we're not used to being in the house together for so long. And this is the key bit, she says, it's got my routine offset.
Yes.
And that is the problem with most of us. Our routines have been totally disruptive. So we've got to go to the drawing board and develop new routines, which is calling on our creativity to do that. So that's a good thing. That's what I'm excited about. Things will develop that will become, to use the buzzword going around, the new norm. Although I believe we've always had new norms.
Well, every day is a new norm.
Every day is a new norm.
Normally,
you know,
on the show, I give the numbers at the beginning, but I was just so excited to jump into this conversation that I forgot to say 434-1790. That's the number to call into the studio. 266-4862. Get those WhatsApps in. And I am throwing out the, not challenge, but the suggestion. Later on in the program, we are going to come to those coping mechanisms to manage through this crisis, because today's topic is coping with COVID. So we want persons to call in and briefly share with us what challenge you might have had and then how you've managed to cope with that challenge. So don't forget those numbers, 434-1790 and 266-4862 for the WhatsApp. Now, just before my little blurb there, Lennox, you were talking about that lady who was too close to her husband and her children.
Doc, before you proceed, can I interrupt you?
Sure, go ahead.
There's a caller on the line before we lose him or her. Are you willing to take this call and then go on with
your
conversation?
Sure, let's jump right in.
Go right ahead, caller. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to find out is that after all of the social distancing and the lockdown and all of that, how are we going to, when the all clear is given, how are we going to know that the country is virus-free? What's going to happen to the virus?
Well, one thing I can say for sure, ma'am, is that it's not necessarily going to be virus-free, because I don't think that one ever 100% gets rid of a virus until you have, what's it called? The thing that happens to smallpox becomes eradicated.
Yes.
Right? And that is going to take some time. We need to bear in mind that this has only been 4 months that we have been studying this disease. So we don't know how it's going to act. We don't know how it's going to change. We don't know how long it's going to exist. Is it going to stay silent in some people and then sometime down the road come back again? We don't know. But what we do know is that our local government and local healthcare system, they have been closely looking at what's coming out from the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control, and we would take our guidance from them. And any actions that are taken, whilst I don't know the specifics, I am certain that that they would be with the best interest of the safety and health of the general public. So we don't know right now. We don't know that December 31st will come around and we will still be confined and restricted in some ways. We don't know. We just have to live each day until.
Okay. Yeah, because that was a concern of mine.
And it's a very valid question.
I dare say that might be the concern of quite a few other people, and it ties into what we were speaking about earlier, about the uncertainty, because people like to be sure as much as possible of where they're putting the next foot, you know, the next foot hole, and that cannot be guaranteed per se in this situation. However, to reiterate what you said, I do believe that our health authorities will give us the best information that can be and give us the best direction how to proceed. So we have to trust that.
Thank you, caller.
Hi.
We have another caller. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Go right ahead. They can hear you.
Peace be unto you and yours and to your guests.
Thank you.
I was listening to the calling program today, and a few persons were speaking about alcohol. They want to drink alcohol, but I find that a lot of people only listening, but a lot of them are really getting down to the seriousness of this virus. And it said that if you have it, it is something that it affects your lungs. So I want you to really break it down and explain to people, because when it first started, I heard a doctor and a nurse from New York saying smokers and drinkers have to be careful. So you speak to these people that I know they like the little drink and thing, but let them know that if they're doing that, and God forbid it, they had to catch it, what would happen to them? Anyhow, always enjoy your program. Grayson, good evening, and y'all getting safe.
Thank you, and have a good evening
safe,
as well.
Safe.
Thank you. So, briefly, I will say that there have been restrictions placed on the use of alcohol, and that's both medical reasons and social and legal reasons for banning alcohol. We know that smokers are placed in the high-risk category, especially because their lungs are already affected by smoking. And when we say high-risk category, we don't mean high-risk for getting the virus, because anybody can get the coronavirus. What we mean is that they are at greater risk for getting the more serious complications. Now, smoking is not one of those things that most people can stop immediately. And what I suggest is that we take this opportunity, those persons who smoke, let me not say we, because I don't smoke, that this opportunity should be taken by those persons who smoke to gradually cut down. Try to take this opportunity to start quitting and finding other good habits to put in place of smoking. And that's something Mr. Rochester can speak about.
I would also want to say yes, that you start doing that. Take this opportunity to start going on a gradual exposure program in terms of your smoking, but also with alcohol, because it's been noted that lots of people use alcohol to manage their stress and their fears and their concerns and whatever
else. That was one of my later questions.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
That was one of the questions I had for you later, but let's talk about it now.
Before you go on, Doc, with Mr. Rochester, there's a call on the line, one. Before we get to that call on the line, though, however, let me just read this WhatsApp here. It says, good evening to Lennox Rochester, my neighbor, while he lives in Spikestown. And this person's listening all the way from Maryland in the USA. So I'm wondering if you know who that is, Mr. Rochester. But anyway,
I have no idea.
They're shouting you out.
But whoever it is, hi, hello. Good to know that you're locked on.
All right. And there's a call on the line. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, please. The doctor can hear you.
Yes. I left my number for the doctor to call me last week. Apparently, she must have forgot or whatever, or if she was too busy.
Yes, I do. I did get your number. Ms. Cecily did give me your number. And yes, I have been caught up doing quite a few things, but I do recognize your voice, and I will make it my business before the week is out to give you a call.
I thank you very much, Doc.
Okay. No problem
important.
At all, my dear.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Have a good evening, Doc. We're going to keep you busy. We've got another caller for you. Go right ahead, caller.
Good yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Doc, and good evening to your panelists. My question, I want to follow for you. And I was discussing this recently, even to half hour ago, my darling, and we just discussed this aspect. You see that explanation you just given about a virus? My take is, since there's no known cure in the world, the fear I've got about countries trusting their people back out into society, open up stores and open up business again with no known cure, I think that would play a Russian roulette with the country. You'll be playing Russian roulette to do that, because if there's no known cure, the going forward is where do we go from here? So you are very clear and definitive when you talk about the seriousness of a virus. And we are only months into this. And the next thing is that the kind of, you're getting all kinds of symptoms and the variables and the variant from this to that. And you can't pin it down to anything in particular. My real concern is how a country is going to go forward as regarding opening back up and setting out again, because they're in a mode now of uncertainty, and my estimation is they don't know what is the next move, where to turn. So you are very, very clear, and as a medical expert and a doctor, I would obviously want to size with you, and that is my concern. You can't play Russian roulette.
Right. As a doctor, we take a vow. It's a series of statements, and I know that the vast majority of my colleagues take this very seriously. We try not to do any harm. We try not to operate with neglect. And I don't think that there's anybody who has to make the decisions who is going to play Russian roulette with the country.
Exactly.
So we, like I say, I'm going to reiterate it. We don't know. We are not certain.
Exactly.
But what we will do is keep our ears to the ground with respect to evidence that is coming out.
Yeah.
Specific things about the virus that have been proven by scientific study.
Right.
And decisions will be made based
according
on those things.
Yes, you're right.
And so we are not going to next week, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, say, well, it doesn't seem as though we have any more cases. Let's take the children back into school.
Exactly, you are clear.
Not at all.
Can't work.
Right, so we will take our time. It is difficult for each of us. And
it's difficult for the world, ma'am.
Correct. Right, so we take it in stride. We just take it in stride.
I regard you. Gretchen, good evening, sir.
Thank you, sir. And you have a wonderful evening yourself, huh?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Okay, Doc and Mr. Rochester, we've got another WhatsApp where it says, over time, alcohol will take effect on you mentally and physically. Alcohol puts you at risk, especially with COVID-19, in that alcohol weakens the immune system. Not to mention it destroys your brain cells. Wonder how persons would respond if cigarettes were banned during COVID-19. What say you, Mr. Rochester and Dr.
No, I say on the topic of alcohol, the person is absolutely correct. Alcohol is quite dangerous. Now, we often say it's part of our culture and whatever else, but we have to be aware of the essential dangers. Now, I want to make a statement, and I want to be very clear. Alcohol is the best way to manage stress. Alcohol is the worst way to manage stress. Let me explain. A drink of alcohol, and it would appear that everything is fine. Worries have diminished or removed themselves. However, when the effects are gone, the circumstances are still there, and they may have multiplied during that process. So it's not really, it's never a good idea to use alcohol to deal with any stressors, because the damage, both psychological, physiological, and social, are too great. The damages are too great. That's
okay,
why it's
Mr.
called
Rochester.
A biopsychosocial disease.
Based on my past experiences, especially here on the show, I have learned a few things. So I'm going to ask you, for the sake of our listeners, kindly repeat what you just said.
Okay. I said alcohol is the best way to manage stress. Alcohol is the worst way to manage stress. Good. And I want people to be aware of the second part of the statement, alcohol is the worst way to manage stress. Now, why they say it's the best way to manage stress? Because one drink and it seems like all the problems have diminished or they have disappeared. However, when the effects of that drink are over, the problems are still there and they might have multiplied because alcohol can cause physiological problems, psychological problems, social problems. That is why it's called a biopsychosocial disease when a person is suffering from alcoholism, because it affects every aspect of the individual.
Right, and the body, the
family,
mind, and the social circumstances.
Absolutely, the family,
right.
and very much the society as well.
Okay, let me interrupt you again, please. Mr. Rochester, the lady from Maryland says it's Jackie, Mr. Jackman's daughter from next door. I don't know if that... now you remember.
Yes, I
That's
do.
One.
I do.
Okay,
I do.
And two, we've got another caller on the line waiting for you guys. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. Very good evening to you, Grayson.
Thank you, and likewise to you.
To the doctor, whoever may be able to answer my question.
Mm-hmm. They can hear you.
When
I can't hear
this,
very, very well.
When you collect this
so
virus,
you can raise your voice a little
you are
bit.
Taking a way to go to the installation to get tweaks. When you are released, when you get better, you go right back into your home or they sanitize your home?
No, you go back into your home. When you are released from isolation, you don't pose a risk to the other individuals. You're clear from isolation. Hello?
Go ahead, Doc. That caller dropped out. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You're cleared from isolation. I believe I heard after you had two consecutive tests which are negative for the virus. And those persons who are cleared from isolation, because we don't know as yet whether or not they will be immune to the virus for life, they still have to act in the same way that other individuals must, i.e. they must wash their hands, they must sneeze into a tissue or into their elbow and wash their hands, wipe down surfaces. The recommendation is to wear a mask when you go out. All those things must still be done by those individuals. So it's not a case where a unit has to come now and clean down your house and so on. No.
All right, we've got a question for you, Dr. Boyce. Dr. Boyce, don't you think we still have to follow the same protocol for quite some time, like distancing and all that stuff, when we go back to the norm?
I think because of the uncertainty, there will still be people who will be social distancing and so on. We still have to wait to hear what will be the impact when we are, I almost said released, when we are able to return to, and I put norm in inverted commas, because like Mr. Rochester said, it's going to be a new normal. Things will not go back to the way they were pre-COVID at all.
And so
Go ahead. You go ahead there.
I think that's something that people need to be aware of. Although we cannot say what things will be, they will not be as they were. And we have to make those adjustments. And as we continue, we'll have to make the adjustments as we go on, because now we cannot be too rigid at all, right? But one thing that comes out of this will be an increased awareness of self-care activities.
Agreed.
And I'm not saying this lightly. Neither am I saying that people in Barbados don't take care of their self-care. However, that increased awareness, and it's reinforced now by the fact that everybody around the world is doing it, and that can only augur well for ourselves as a nation, because the truth is we've taken a lot for granted.
I agree. And it also puts in perspective for us another thing that we've taken for granted, which is our healthcare system.
Yes.
So we are now seeing the true value of our healthcare system here in Barbados. And again, kudos to those persons who have worked so hard on the center at Harrison's Point. You know, turning it into a very modern care facility, how things have to be adjusted at the hospital, how visiting hours have to be adjusted and so on. And doctors and nurses and cleaners and engineers and receptionists and operators and everybody else has had to adjust. And I think what this virus has taught us, or what we need to learn, is that ability to adapt and to adjust.
And adjust. And let me put in something here. Let me put in a plug for the mental health services, because those are services that are stretched tremendously in this country. But however, the team has come together and set up plans. And as far as I know, nobody has fallen through the cracks. People are being looked after, and they're being looked after in different ways. Yes, they're no. They can't be allowed visits and stuff, and that's understandable. But the reality is, it is protecting a vulnerable population.
Yes. One of my questions to you, Mr. Rochester, was going to be if we expected to see an increase in mental health disorders.
Now, let's look at this, because we have to look at mental health in its broadest sense, okay? It's broadest sense. And let me give you one of my definitions. Mental health in its broadest sense means striking a balance in all aspects of our lives, social, physical, spiritual, economic, mental, whatever. Now, reaching this balance is a learning process. And at times we may take too much in one direction, and we have to find our footing, right? Now, also, our personal balance is unique, and our challenge will be to stay mentally healthy by keeping that balance. Now, we are all at different levels. And one of the concern areas relates to people who have already existing mental health conditions.
Yeah.
All right? They may, and they could be exacerbation of that, mm-hmm. because you're talking about people whose perception may be affected. Okay, if you may have people who have conditions which are characterized by suspicion or paranoia. And those can be exacerbated, especially if they don't understand the activities that is going on around them. All right? Now, as we look at mental health in its broadest terms, let's look at our children. We have quite a few children in the country who have been diagnosed with ADHD and ADD. All right? Now, they've been asked to stay inside. You're talking about some children who become increasingly active, who become increasingly irritable. So they pose some challenges for the parents to manage. You know, so there may be some increase there. Now, what I have noticed in the quote-unquote normal population, because of the concerns, some people have started to demonstrate certain behaviors that are not considered norm. I am not going to say OCD, whatever, but some people have become a little bit attracted to cleaning a whole lot. Not that it's a bad thing, but when it starts to become a problem, right? Now, let's face it, taking care of yourself in this COVID crisis, there's a certain ritualistic quality to it, the constant hand washing, whatever else, right? Now, and these may lead some quote-unquote normal people to overcompensate and do it to a point where then it becomes dangerous from a dermatological point of view, or from a point of view where there's suspicion increasing, where nothing that anybody else has in the home or whatever is clean. It must be sanitized. It must be Clorox by 300%, all that. So these are things that may develop.
Wow. So it's a funny thing that you said OCD, because there are some persons I know who have to have things a certain way and be particularly organized, and if things are out of order, it doesn't really disturb their function, but it disturbs their, I would like to say, equilibrium.
Right. Now, when you take that in consideration, and you take a number of people in the house on a consistent, extended basis, all right, then you may have some problems developing.
I can only imagine.
Now, also, remember that anger is also a mental health condition. So you may have some anger and some aggression coming down. If that doesn't happen, you may also have some people becoming depressed or profoundly sad because their needs aren't met and because things aren't the way they would want them to be at this present time. So my view is that as the crisis carries on, we may see certain things developing that may be causes for concern.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about children. Let's get back to children. These are social beings who regularly, there is some regularity in their schedules. So, you know, from 9 o'clock to 9:40, you're doing this, 9:40 to 10:20. So they have a schedule.
Yeah.
They are social, so they can see their friends and so on. But no, they're home. Some of them don't have the social media access at home. Some of them, they can't see their friends and so on and so forth. I vaguely remember when my son first saw his classmates on their platform, their Zoom platform. He was so excited. He was jumping all over the place, waving at everybody. So it was then that I really understood how much the children have missed each other. And I think we as adults have not really understood how much our children have been impacted. Let's speak a little bit to how we as parents can see where our children are at and how we can best guide them through this process of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Now, number one, we have to be very, very observant. We have to be, you know, we have to be really, really observant. And you're looking for things like excessive crying or irritation in children. You're looking for them returning to certain behaviors that they have outgrown, like, for example, toileting and bedwetting, issues like that. You're looking for excessive worry or sadness, where they're just sitting around not doing anything, where they're seeming lost in space, that sort of thing. You're also looking for unhealthy eating or sleeping habits. Now, it is quite possible in this time that sleeping habits change. Sometimes we talk about an inverted sleep pattern, right? And this depends on the age of the child because there's not a whole lot of structure right now. So children sleep during the day, whatever, then they can't sleep at night. Then we're allowing them perhaps to watch television. We're allowing them access to the tablets, which was kind of like restricted before.
Yes.
You know, but we still have to pay attention to the access and what they're doing, you know, so that becomes a problem. We're looking for acting out behaviors. Now, acting out behaviors can come in many forms: undereating, overeating, wastage of stuff, messing with certain things in the house, rearranging things. That can come. You're looking for changes in the usual pattern, right? Now, some people are doing, I understand, some school activities via certain social media platforms and stuff. You have to monitor that, right? Because they're very clever.
Very.
They may look like they're doing something, but they may be doing something, but not what they're supposed to be doing.
Agreed.
Right? Then you look for things like avoiding activities that they've enjoyed in the past. And there's usually a telltale sign something is wrong. Unexplained headaches and body pain, you may use that. And something that was brought to my attention recently, and it relates to this unexplained body pain and headaches and stuff, you know, someone always wanting, I have a headache, I need a Panadol, I need something, it's not going away. We need to watch that because it may be the beginning of some, what I would want called childhood drug exposure.
Okay.
So we need to look for these changes in patterns and stuff like that. Now, in terms of
these changes, so what do we do? So we've seen these changes. What do we do as parents and guardians?
Now, something that we should be doing all the time, we should be talking with our children about COVID-19. I mean, there's a whole lot of information out there. I've come across some little cartoons and stuff, and it depends on the age of the child. they have to be, you know, child appropriate. I've come across some cartoons and some information that are very good, especially to the younger children. We have to explain it to them, and we may have to do it very, very frequently.
Yes.
Because sometimes they don't, but why can't I go outside? They don't understand that. We have to reassure them that they're safe. Now, this becomes an issue for some of us, right? Now, this reassurance, because sometimes we ourselves might not feel safe, but we have to give them the assurance that they're safe, that we will take care of them. All right? So that's important. And we also have to encourage them, you know, to recognize that it's okay to feel upset. It's okay to feel upset. It's okay to feel that this is unfair and stuff, but let's talk about it. And you can talk to the smallest child, but you do use language that they can understand.
Age appropriate,
all right?
Yes.
And we have to share with them how we deal with our own stress so that they can learn from us, because that is how they learn to negotiate life, from us. So right now, where everybody is together, always, we have to manage and monitor our own responses, because we don't want to give them a response that could be detrimental to them and that could lead to them developing dangerous or negative behaviors. Now, one thing that I would like to say as well is that we have to limit their exposure and the whole family's exposure to news coverage.
I agree completely. My cell phone, my poor cell phone, if it had feelings, I don't know what it would do.
There is a lot and a lot, and there is something called information overload because
yes.
What happens is when we get the information, it stimulates our thought patterns, and thoughts become feelings become words become actions become habits become behavior becomes destiny. See the whole line of things? So we have to be very, very careful in how we allow exposure to news, and we have to choose very, very carefully, because some aspects of news can be traumatic to a child.
Definitely. I think like things such as seeing the number of bodies in some of the countries, and
yes,
some children really not understanding death and its finality. These are things you have to be very, very careful, and maybe I can suggest that persons, there are certain online platforms that have parental links so that
mm-hmm.
parents can control what their children see. They can also control the amount of time that the children are on the particular devices. So perhaps this is something that parents can look into with respect to the screen time.
Absolutely.
Some people are at home with their children.
Yeah. Yeah, and they need to look into those things. You need to search for the better platforms which give the most appropriate user-friendly information, and the news that your 17-year-old can assimilate will be totally daunting to your 5-year-old.
Yeah.
So we have to look at that now. Which places now a challenge on the parent, if you've got 3 or 4 children, you have to be very careful on that, and that's an additional role, but the reality is we've got to do it.
It comes back to adaptability, and that ability to be flexible and change is necessary.
Absolutely, and part of that also is to try to keep with regular routines, right? Now, and this is where some of the creativity that I spoke about will come in. You've got create a schedule for learning, activities, relaxation, and fun. That's the balance. You've got to create that, you know, and there's a chance, you know, to get to know your children better, get to know their likes, their dislikes, and whatever else. And you can make home learning fun. And activities that all in the family can participate in, without too much competition, or with just enough competition or competitiveness to be stimulating and useful.
I would really love to be able to stay on some more of the tips that we can do for parents, but perhaps we can, you know, have you back again. But in these our last few minutes, the clock just does this to me every week. It just runs down. Let's talk about how the adults can manage in this time. How can we as adults get through this challenge? And I know one of the things is, the first thing you just said, mm-hmm. would be about the information overload. It applies to children.
It applies to adults as well.
Mr. Rochester, before you answer that question from the good doctor, there's somebody in the line that wants to have a comment. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Mr. Good evening.
Hello, hello, hello.
Doc, good evening, Rick.
Hi, good evening.
Boys. Now, I want to tell Mr. Rochester, who is known to me as Rocky, that he has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's not only a great physiotherapist, but he's also a great motivational speaker. And he should come up from his workplace sometimes and go to the schools, if he has not been doing that already, and speak to the kids. I enjoy, believe me, Rocky, I'm enjoying this part, this conversation with you and the doctor, Stephen, especially when in your opening exchanges. Is really, 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 I call you the quintessential explainer, if I can use that term. And you know what, I call you Rocky, you know I have to know you.
Yes, yes. I am trying to recognize the voice. I think I'm pinpointing it, but I'm not sure. But I would not risk saying it on national radio.
Yeah, I would speak to you a day this week.
Okay.
But I thank you kindly for your kind comment, sir. Pardon?
I thank you for your kind comment, sir. Well taken. I
just want to reiterate, though, that I am enjoying this evening's show, unlike last week when there was a part of the show that was pretty cantankerous. This week, it is much different and very, very highly educational because of your vast knowledge, Mr. Rocky. So I want to hear you. Dr. Boyce, I want to hear the guy back there again sometime soon because he has a lot to offer.
Well, it depends on his schedule, but of course, Mr. Rochester, I've already said to him that we're going to have him back, so he knows.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you guys stay safe.
Thank you.
And mask up.
All right. Thank you, kindly caller. Two things. We don't control what the caller says to us when they call. Last week, we had some callers that were a little bit aggressive in terms of their the disposition towards the COVID-19 treatments and the sort of things that were going on in certain places. We can't control that where they are concerned. That's one. Two, Mr. Rochester, you seem to have a fan club. That's good. And three, the doctor was asking a question. I'm quite sure you've forgotten just like me. So go ahead, Doc.
It is for the adults, okay?
Yes.
Now, I want to state emphatically, you have to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your family. Right? Now, you two have got to take breaks from watching, reading, or listening to too many news stories. That is paramount. Take care of your body. And there are exercises and stuff that you need to do. You know, don't try to eat healthy, well-balanced meals. Now, I do realize that may become challenging now with everybody in the house and whatever else. But guess what? A new way of thinking. This is a new way now to get your children to eat healthy.
Yes, either they eat or they starve.
There you go. And it's a new way because they're not at the school or whatever buying those all healthy snacks. So you now get that in place and they've said, and this is very interesting, they say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. Who knows?
Oh,
right?
Dear.
I'll leave that there. Exercise regularly. And the truth is, you don't have to go into a gym to get exercise. Three steps can offer you exercise, a little space in your yard, in your garage, whatever, and you develop some exercises that keep you healthy and fit and keep your body going.
There are many online options.
Yes, and there are some online things as well. Make time to unwind. Do some activities you enjoy, and part of that is taking some me time, which may be very difficult. A person once said to me, the only me time I get is when I go in the little room. Mm-hmm. And
Understood.
She meant the bathroom.
Yes.
I said, okay. She says she goes in there and she sits. She takes in little music and a candle.
Good evening.
Just hold on, caller.
And she unwinds in there, and that is creativity. So we have to be creative about what we do with ourselves and connect with others. Connect with others. You know, call people, talk to people, all right? And we have to trust, you know, share things with people and keep it balanced.
All right, Mr. Rochester.
Yes,
sorry for interrupting you. Our time is getting very small. We've got a call on the line. Who has the radio up? You got to turn it down a bit, my dear.
The TV.
Don't okay. Turn down the TV. We'll come back to you in a second. But with reference to what the gentleman caller called and said about being cantankerous last week, Dr. Boyce, there's a WhatsApp from here from last week that came after the show, and it said, "Good night, sir." They actually called me sir, so I'm happy about that. It said, "You're very patient with some of these callers." This is in reference to last week's show, the same show the caller is referring to. It says, "You're very patient with some of these callers. Kudos to the doctors for remaining calm and professional." So that was a heads up for you guys last week that we missed because the show was finished. That's one. And they're calling this tonight to say, "Good night, love your programs." And this one's for me, especially the way you play music. I just saw that one. Ooh.
Good, Gregson, good.
Thank you. And there's a call on the line, so let's take that before we wrap up. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was saying, you know, when I was first again, everybody was running from the Chinese and everything, and their own food was running, and we didn't even know. You understand? We were just running from the Chinese all the time.
I think what she's saying is that we were focusing on the Chinese because it originated in Wuhan, China. But really, it was our returning nationals and some visitors who are actually the ones that brought it here. Your comment, Doc? Thanks, caller.
Yes, that is true. One of the fallouts that has happened was that there was some racial slurs and so on being put about the place about the Chinese and persons of Asian descent. But we have to be bigger than that. And treat people with the respect that they deserve as human beings and individuals.
Absolutely. This would be my ending statement as well, Gregson, and I will make reference to a sound that you may know. Things get a little easier once you understand, and we can use this in all aspects because as we understand more about this, it gets a little easier. The impact on us is not so detrimental or so traumatic, and we are able to develop ways of coping, helping our fellow man cope, and also contributing to the generalized coping of our community and nation as well.
All right.
Mr. Rochester?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know how to thank you, but know that you'll be hearing from me very, very soon. There are just two things in my last 2 minutes that I want to pinpoint that you said that I thought was very, very interesting. Those two things were very interesting. One, control your thoughts. Try to be in control of your thoughts, because from there, thoughts become, I think, ideas and then actions and then behaviors and all the way down to destiny. So we need
Pretty
to control
much.
Our thoughts. And
yes.
The second thing was the quote that the person gave to you where they said, "Deal with uncertainties by focusing on certainties." I think that's so profound, and it helps us as adults and children through this COVID-19 change.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking the time. You have been listening to the Better Health Radio Show. Join us again next week, Sunday, 6 to 7, VOB 92.9 FM, for another interesting show. We'll see what that show will be about. And we look forward to having you join us again with your WhatsApps and your calls. Gregson?
Yes, please.
Have a wonderful evening. It has been my pleasure, as usual.
Thank you,
Kenji.
Oh,
yes, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the health of another individual is in your hands. Please wash your hands.
I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
You're welcome. right.
That's Dr. Renee Boyce. You're welcome. That's Dr. Renee Boyce, host of your show, Better Health Radio Show, and her guest this evening, occupational therapist, Lennox Rochester. Mr. Rochester, thank you kindly, and both of you
thank
have
you
a wonderful
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Take
Bye-bye,
care.
Everybody.